burger.
That seat three, that's open?
That seat is open if you want.
To do with it, there's a very well-known mimer in the Yerushalmi Maseches Yuma that says, "Kol Dorsh Lo Nivne Beis Hamikdash B'Yamav Hilu Nechrav B'Yamav," that any generation that is not zeicha to the building of the Beis Hamikdash is as guilty as the generation of the Chorban itself. That's a chiddush. The Yerushalmi is a chiddush. I might have thought without the Yerushalmi that the Beis Hamikdash was Nechrav because of certain Aveiros of the door, and we are not Zeicha, we don't have a special Zechus to be Zeicha to the Binyan. But the Yerushalmi seems to be telling us a different fort, that you don't need a special Zechus to be Zeicha to the Binyan Abayis. You simply need a Tikkun of the Aveiros that were Geirim the Chorban, meaning to say, if we would be Mesaken, the Sibais of the Chorban, Mimela the Beis Hamikdash would be rebuilt. And kishem that we say, Hamachadesh Betuvai B'chol Yom Tamid Maisa Bereshis, that the Eibishter recreates the world every single second. I don't say, since the world was here yesterday, it's here today, but rather every single day there's a new Brias, every single unit of time there's a new Brias Ha'ilam Beratzon Avayrei. So the Chorban HaMikdash is the same thing, that the Mikdash is being Nechrav Kol Shah V'Shah, that we're not Zeicha L'Binyanei. It's not Nechrav because it was Nechrav. It's Nechrav because it is Nechrav. It's Kehilu, you're walking by the Mikdash and you see it burning, mamish, in front of your eyes. And even if a person has a lave of heaven, if he would see the Mikdash actually burning, he would be margish. The Yerushalmi is telling us that's what we have to be margish. And if Chazal tell us, therefore, that the Mikdash was Nechrav, the Mikdash Sheni was Nechrav because of Sinas Chinam, then Behechrich, although I don't think you need to bring a Raya from this even, Behechrich, there's a Sinas Chinam that we still have. But the emes is that, you know, the Rambam says in the Parish of Mishnayis that we fasted not only at the time of the Korban, but even during the Bayis Sheni, when the Mikdash came back, we continued to fast even during the Bayis Sheni. Now, L'chaira, once you have the Bayis Sheni, why would you be Misaneh? So there are three possibilities. One possibility, which is actually very schwer, but the Rambam seems to say this, is that since Tisha B'Av had other tzaras, the Gezeira of the Meraglim, so that's a Siba to fast, even when you have a Mikdash. For L'chaira, it's very, very difficult, because a lot of the tzaras of Tisha B'Av, Beitar, or Necher Jo'ir, was later, at the time of the Bayis Sheni Gufa. The only tzara you really had was the Chorban Bayis Rishayin, that seems to be rectified, and the Gezeira of the Meraglim. But the Rambam's lesson is, talk full of tzarais, v'meila you fast. The other reason why you might fast is suggested, that Tisha B'Av in the Bayis Sheni was not a fast of Avelus, it was a fast of Tefillah. Because throughout the Hemshech of the Bayis Sheni, there was a Meiridik Apachad, that this would be a day that's Muchen the Peronius. So Ein Achinami, they weren't misavel over the Chorban Bayis Rishay, because that was Mesukin. But what happened was, they were mispalel. It was a Yom of Tefillah, like getter like a tiny Shalei Tavay Tzara, that a Tzara shouldn't come. But a third explanation, which might be the most pashut, although it does not fit the Lashon of the Rambam, is that even when we had the Bayis Sheni, it was not really misaking what we lost with the Bayis Rishay. It's true that the Bayis Sheni was 420 years, the Bayis Rishay was 410, but there were five Devarim that were chaser in the Bayis Sheni that you didn't have in the Bayis Rishay. You didn't have Nevuah, you didn't have Urim B'Tumim, Memele, you didn't have Shechina. So yeah, the Bayis Sheni, we had Korbanais, we had Avaida, we had Aliyah L'Regel, we had all sorts of good things. But the true is kashrus to the Shechina that we didn't have. We didn't have Nevuah. The Kohen Gadol didn't have Urim B'Tumim. He had the Avnei Choshen. People sometimes misunderstand. I'm sure in this audience you don't misunderstand. When it says that Chaser Urim B'Tumim, it's not referring to the Avnei Choshen. The Kohen Gadol Vada had the Avnei Choshen. But the Kayach of the Avnei Choshen to give messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a Bechina of Nevuah that we didn't have. So Memela, even in the Bayis Sheni, we're Misabel over the Bayis Rishon. Now again, in the Rambam's Lashon, I can't say that that's what the Rambam directly says, but as an idea of why there would be a tainus in the Bayis Sheni, is certainly Yitachen. If that's true, then it would also apply today, that the Mikdash that we're Misabel over is not only the Bayashenit. The Mikdash we're Misabel over, we're still Misabel over the Chorban Bayash Rishayin, because we never got that back. Why is that important? Why is it important to say whether we're Misabel over the Bayash Sheni or over the Bayash Rishon? It's important, I'll pee this Yerushalmi. Because if the Yerushalmi says, Kol Dor Shelo Nivne B'Yamav, Ki Ilu Nechra V'B'Yamav, and that's interpreted to mean that it must be we still have the Sibas that we're Gairam the Chorban, and that's why we're called Machrive Habayas, and therefore we have to be Misakin. It would turn out that we have to be Misakin not only the Pagamim that were Gairam the Chorban by Yesheni, but even the Pagamim that were Gairam the Chorban by Yesrishon. Let's take each of them separately. The Pagamim that were Gairam the Yesheni, again, there's more than one Gemara, but the most famous, well-known Gemara that is quoted the most in later Svarim is, of course, the Gemara in Yuma that says that the Yesheni was Nechrav because of Sinas Chinam. Obviously, I'll pee the Yerushalmi, Sinas Chinam is still here. Again, I don't want to be mired too much in it because it gets me into great controversies that maybe on Tisha B'Av I don't want to get into. But let me just remind people of the famous and controversial comments of the Netziv in the Hakdama as a Sefer Devarim. And the Netziv himself, who was Gadol Shebigdalim, was criticized in his lifetime by other people for those comments. But the Netziv writes that what was the Sinas Chinam of the Bayashani? Because the Chaira, Sinas Chinam is a very, very strange thing. Because the Chaira, nobody's guilty of Sinas Chinam. If I don't like somebody, what am I going to say? Why don't you like the person? No reason. Everybody has a reason. Elamai, Behechrech, some reasons might be called Chinam. Behechrech, even though you think you have a reason, it's Chinam. What makes it Chinam? So the Netziv Tainus, that the Sinas Chinam of the Bayashani was a religious Sinas Chinam that had a certain cover of being L'Shem Shemayim, in which there were many, many different movements and people did many different Jerachim in Avodas Hashem, and a person looked at somebody else and he called him a min, a tztuki. Of course, they really were minim and tztuki, but you sometimes applied the term to people who were not. And the Netziv says the concept that anybody frimmer than me is a fanatic, anybody less frum than me is an apikairis. He says, that was the Sinas Chinam of the Bayashani. That was Gairam the Chorban Abayas. That Hagam, that a person has to be Laicha Milchemes Hashem. Certainly. On Hashkafas that are false, ideas that are false. But it should never, you try to not turn it into something that's an attack on a person. Even a person that is a Taya is number one, not an Apikoris. You know, a person can say all sorts of idiotic things and it's not Apikoris. A person might be wrong and it's not Apikoris. What has happened very much in our door, and again, there might be historical reasons, and I don't want to be marked too much, but mainly I want to talk about another Nakuda, is that there tends to be a labeling of Hashkafas and Jerachim with the words Kfira, Amalek, very, very stark over shyness, when it's simply a question of somebody being a Taya. At least Lashita saying or somebody is a Taya. Somebody being a Taya is Labdavka Napikaris. And there's a tremendously destructive thing that happens when we get into the idea of Sinas Chinam. And this is based on a Pasuk in Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, very, very sadistic a Pasuk, K'mayim aponim elponim kein leif ha'adam li'adam. As water reflects the face you show it, so the heart of one person reflects the heart that you show it. The Gra says, and it's really Pasuk Pshat of the Pasuk, if I look at a body of water and I get a reflection, whatever I show that water, I get back. I smile at the water, I get a smiling face. I frown at the water, I get a frowning face. So the Pasuk is saying, the way water reflects, kapanim el panim, the heart of a human being reflects. I relate to a human being with the yachas of kavod, the yachas of respect, the yachas of derech eretz, a yachas of legitimating him as a adam chashev, as a good person. He will see in me those same milas. Leidach kisa, I convey to a person that he's a garnished, he's a nothing, he's an apikaris, a kaifer. He will look at me the same way. This is Badaka Manasa, the Gra says. The Gra says that the way you look at another person, he will look at you. That is the Pasuk Kamayim upon him. Baruch Hashem, over the past 60, 70 years, certainly over the past 50 years, B'nai Torah and Eretz Yisrael have been zeicha to do tremendous, tremendous things, to build yeshivas, to be marbitz Torah, to become a kayach, really, in the country as a whole, often for good, in terms of being makara b'chaykin. And Baruch Hashem, under the hadracha of our gedolim, there is much not to be miskaya, because gaiv is never good, tayavas Hashem kol gavalev, but at least to feel that Baruch Hashem, we've tudev a lot, we've done a lot, we've accomplished a lot. And the truth of the matter is, a Yid believes that even the economic and military success of Eretz Yisrael comes from the kayach of Torah and mitzvah. So the truth of the matter is, the people who are learning have contributed immeasurably, ein l'davar seif, to the essence security of Am Yisrael. And if chas v'shalom there would be gezeiros that would be mevatel people from learning, you know, even from a military standpoint, who knows what sakana chas v'shalom might happen. So certainly, I only have words of shevach and words of chizuk for all that the B'nai Torah have done in Eretz Yisrael. But at least on Tisha B'Av, we need to make a little bit of a cheshbon nefesh in terms of sometimes the atmosphere of negativity, the atmosphere of hate, the atmosphere of beetle that gets conveyed towards Yidden, number one, who are not from, and second of all, towards Yidden who are from, but maybe Dati Liumi, or maybe different, you know, people who are still Shemir Tairo Mitzvah, in which they're regarded as totally Chutz L'Machana, as if they're regarded as sometimes even L'Shainas of Rishayim, Amalek, all sorts of L'Shainas. And we can't deny that we live in a tekufa where there's tremendous, tremendous tension between religious and secular. The compulsory draft law is just the most recent example of the tensions that come. But one might have a havamina, at least one might think a little bit that based on the idea of kamayim aponim alponim, if we could show a sense of appreciation for the contributions that different people make to the Jewish world, for example, we could be, obviously could be very much against any notion of compulsory draft, but an individual chayal, whether religious or chiloni, whether Nachal Charedi or Hester, is doing something for Klal Yisrael, is doing something for the Jewish people. And if we could convey some sense of hakaras hatayv, some sense of respect, then I think bebechinas kamayim ponim el ponim, there would be a greater hargosha of what Torah does for society. And I think a lot of the tension could be diffused with simple derech eretz, simple menschlichkeit, simple ideas of hakaras hatayv. Now again, before anyone attacks me, I hope not, but I actually heard this, I mean, I said it on my own also, but I heard Rav Gershon Edelstein Panovich gave a shmuz, and he said, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shekivanti, he said very much the same idea, and I saw a little video of it. The Talmidim literally didn't understand him for a while. They were like staring, and like, you know, it was like he was like teaching Kabbalah or something. I don't know what it was. It didn't compute, because it's not a message that we hear. But in its yesite, it is a tremendously important raya, a tremendously important idea. Now, of course, obviously, one has to be careful not to ideologically concede yesitistika hashkafas. I understand. But there is a way to also be miyachas with derech eretz. Now, Rav Yoshev Zatzal said, and for some reason this is not quoted as much as other things that he said, Rav Yoshev Zatzal said that the central avodah of B'nai Torah in this door is to be mekayim the pasuk, the ahavteis Hashem Elokecha, Kriya Shema, where the Gemara in Yuma says, the ahavteis Hashem Elokecha, we darshan to mean the Shem Hashem misoyev al yodecha, that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be made beloved by the way we behave. That we behave, we live a certain way, and people look at us, maybe they'll become from, maybe they won't become from. But they look at it and they say, if this is the Derech HaTorah, this is the Derech of Hashem, this is the way Hashem wants Yidden to live, it's a good thing, it's a beautiful thing, it's a chashuv thing. And if chas v'shalom, people look and they say, if that's the way people are, if that's the way people behave, Oila the Rabbi Shalim de Taira, alas to the father who taught him Taira, alas to the Rebbe who taught him Taira. Then chas v'shalom, that's a chilul Hashem. And one has to be chas. In many, many ways, I think we are victims of our own success. Because Baruch Hashem, the Charedish of B'nai Taira population is big. It now has political clout, certain amount of political power. Maybe there's less of a need, you know, to make good impressions on other people. We have our own, you know, muscle, so to speak. But that too is a chisaron of gaiva, tayavas Hashem kol gavalev. Because b'emesin, it's not our kayach that does anything. Kayach v'yaitzim yadi is never going to be successful. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps those who make His name beloved. So when we think about sinas chinam, we're not just thinking about, you know, loving, you know, the person who's exactly like us, who davens like us, who dresses like us. You know, there's no havamina. You tend not to hate those guys. So, you know, what's the point? We're b'davka talking about people who may embrace different tashkafas, different mahalchim. And even if their mahalchim are not al piyat yerech ha-tayra, the way we might understand our Messiah, we could still be taila that they're tayim, they're tinuk shenishba. We could still be machshiv the good that they do. And then I think we have Shlomo HaMelech Sabtacha, kemayim apanim alpanim, that they will understand a little bit more a derech ha-tayra by making shem shemayim misal bo yadecha. So the notion that sinas chinam is still dancing among us is unfortunately very, very true, and that's one of the sivas that we have a chorban. But I want to go back a little bit, because if it's emes that we're still misabel over the chorban bias rishain, then that means we have to make a cheshbon nefesh not only legabi the sinas chinam of the bias sheni, but about the averis that were garim the bias rishain. Now that's a little difficult. We have two gemaras about the bias rishain. More than that, but two basic ones I want to focus on. The first Gemara is the same Gemara in Yuma that says, of course, that the bias Rishon was Necherav because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Araya, Shvichas Tamim. And then the Gemara goes on and says, Bo Urei, that for Avodah Zarah, Gilui Araya, Shvichas Tamim, the Golus is only 70 years, and Aschinam, it's, you know, Ad Yom Hazeh. But there's another Gemara in the Dorim, Alma of the Haaretz. The Navi says, Ma of the Haaretz, why was the land destroyed? And the Gemara says, they asked the Nevi'im and they didn't know, and they asked the Chachamim and they didn't know, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give an answer. Al-Azva Mestayrasi. But what does it mean, Azva Mestayrasi? If they stopped, weren't keeping the Torah, the Nevi'im would have known. So the Gemara in Nedarim says, what does it mean, Al-Azva Mestayrasi? They learned Torah, they did mitzvahs. Lai Berchu Ba-Torah Techila. They didn't make Birchais HaTorah. Now, is the Gemara talking about Bayis Rishain or Bayis Sheni? It's Muchrach Minehu Bei that we are talking about Bayis Rishain. Number one, because this is a Pasuk in Yeshayahu, right? Al-Azo Mesterasi. Number two, it says they asked the Nevi'im and the Nevi'im didn't know. There were no Nevi'im by the Chorban Bayis Sheni. The last Nevi'im were Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. So Behechrich, like Bircha Batayra Techila, is talking about what? The Bayis Rishon. So now, before we even get into how it applies today, let's ask a very simple question. The Gemara in Yuma says that the Bayis Rishon was Nechrav because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Araya, Shvichas Damim, the Gimel Chamures. So the Gemara in the Nedarim has to come up with Loi Berchu Batayra Techila. First of all, like most Rishayim, Berchos HaTayra is Drabanan anyway. And even like the Ramban who says Berchos HaTayra is a Do Raisa. So it's a bit of lasay. It's certainly not comparable to Avodah Zarah, Gilui Araya, Shvichas Damim. And the Nevi'im didn't know? Of course the Nevi'im know. What do the Nevi'im talk about? The Nevi'im talk about all of the Averis that Klal Yisrael are doing. So, I'm Stamazai asking, Eikasha, how do you reconcile the Lo Bircha B'Tayra Techila with the Gemara in Yuma, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Araya, Shvichas Damim? So there's a Gevaldik Hesber from Avel Yelapian. Avel Yelapian says like this. Remember the beginning of Malachim Aleph, where David HaMelech is dying towards the end of his life, and he is covered with garments and blankets, and he's still very cold. And the Gemara says, why is David cold? Because kol ha-mevazeh ha-begadim. If a person treats garments with disrespect, at the end the begadim are going to take their revenge and not give you chamimas. Because when David was being pursued by Shaul, at one point when Shaul was Mesechus Raglev, when he was in the Beis Akisei, so David cuts a corner of the garment. So it's interesting. He's not munned because he was Mavaza the Melech. He's munned because he was Mavaza the Beged. And apparently begadim are related to each other, because the begadim that didn't help him are not the same begadim, but nevertheless, mevaza is a begadim. You're mevaza begadim. Right, so if your wife tells you, you know, put away your clothes, you have to be careful, because there can be consequences to throwing around your clothes. So what do you see from that Gemara? You see from that Gemara that when you're mevaze something, you treat it with disdain, you treat it with a lack of kavod, you're not going to get the ta'eles that it's supposed to give you. Right? That's what you see from mevaze sabagadim. So zakt Rav Elya, if that's true for a davar gashmi, a physical thing, which you would think, who cares how I'm miyaches to it? It's a physical reality. And still, it's not going to help me. Then with Torah, it's the same thing. Rav Elya says like this. When the Gemara in the Dorim says that the Nevi'im didn't understand Alma'av the Haaretz, he says like this. They weren't asking what was the chait that caused the Chorban. They knew 100% what the chait that caused the Chorban was. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shevichas Damim. They knew that. That's what they're giving Teichacha for hundreds of years. Menashe, right, all the Rishayim. But they're asking, given the fact that they were learning Torah, how is it, it's a meta question, how is it you talking a person who learns Torah? Well, it's like, you have your morning Seder, go to Daf Yomi Shir, then take off an hour to rape and murder and rob a bank, and make it in time for Mincha. Torah doesn't change a person? That's their kasha. How is it you talking that the Torah is not mahabech you? Zakt Rav Elya, lo berchu b'Torah techila. It's not an aveira per se, but it means they weren't machshiv the Torah enough to make a bracha on it. They considered it a burden. They considered it something they had to do. Mimela kashem, that if you're mevazei beged, it doesn't give you chamimas. If your mavaza is a Torah, it does not give you shemira. Yeah, you can learn and then go and commit murder and other averus chamuras. So lo birchu b'tayra techila, what Elia says, is not the avera for which there was a chorban, but it's the reason why the Torah was not megin them from avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shevichas damim. This is a scary thought, actually. This is a scary thought, because the implication is that a person could learn, a person could do mitzvahs, but whether the kayach of the Torah will be mishana his neshama, whether it'll make him dovuk b'Hashem, whether it'll make him a better person, whether it will purify him, whether it'll be matzal him from the chomer shebachamuras of chatayim, it's not a done deal. It depends on a person's attitude. If you look at the Torah as a gift, if you look at it as a geshmak, opportunity, something joyous that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, then Einachinami, the Torah will be payo. If Chas V'Shalom one looks at it as a burden, then Chas V'Shalom, you're mevaza es HaTorah. The Torah doesn't give you shmira. Mevaza es HaBeged, you don't get shmira. Mevaza es HaTorah, you don't get shmira. So that's how Rav Elya infers the contradiction between lo birchu b'Torah techila and avodah zarah gilui arayos shevichas damim. Right, this is how he answers it. Okay, so going back to our cheshbon, that if bizman hazeh I have to be misabel over the chorban bayis rishayim, in a way I understand lo birchu b'Torah techila, because once again it's a question of what is my attitude towards the Torah, and it comes up in a lot of different ways. And again, I don't mean, God forbid, to exclude myself from whatever Musar I'm saying. I mean, the Musar is much more to myself than anybody here. But you know, a person's attitude, whether it's to anything, cleaning for Pesach, getting ready for Shabbos, you know, we sometimes have the attitude, we may communicate the attitude, it's a tircha, it's a burden, and it's something. That's being mevazeh es HaTorah. That's looking at the Torah as a burden. Somebody once described that certain types of Orthodox Jewry, instead of looking at 613 mitzvahs, they look at the Torah as 613 problems that you got to work around. And that's why we invent Shabbos apps and kosher switches and all of these things. What is the message? Shabbos is a burden, and Shabbos, I guess I'm stuck with it. I gotta do it, but I will look for every possible way around. Again, we're not talking about for hospitals or chaylim. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just for simple convenience. This is kind of an example But I don't mean to single out, you know, only Madhurs. I mean, in our own life, we have examples like this too, in which we look at certain aspects of ruchnius as tirchas and burdens. And we have to understand that even if we're doing the mitzvahs, we are limiting the kayach of those mitzvahs to elevate us and bring us closer to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, and the kayach of those mitzvahs to be masalas minachet. Okay. But now, let's go to the primary Gemara. If the primary Averis were Avodah Zarah, Gilui Shefichas Damim, and we're misabel over that, am I that bad? I understand. Sinas chinam, okay, I got. Lo bircha b'tayrit techila, okay, I got. My attitudes aren't perfect. But Avodah Zarah, Gilui Shefichas Damim, I'm not that bad. I don't do that. Why would I be makasher myself to Avodah Zarah, Gilui Shefichas Damim, when I'm misabel over the Churban Bayis Rishon? So, I want to give you three terusim to that kasha, really in somewhat of an abbreviated fashion. Terus number one is that Chazal identify a number of other averos as equal to that. For example, the Gemara Nedarim says, "Kol hakayes ki ilu ovei avedazar." So, okay, I don't bow down to an idol. Do I lose my temper? Am I angry? If I do get angry without justification, that is ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. Let me digress for a moment. The Baal HaTanya has a very, very beautiful explanation. What's the shaychus? Why do I say kol hakayes ki'ilu oved avodah zarah? What's the connection between anger and avodah zarah? Why is a person angry? Because somebody did something to me. Somebody pushed me. Somebody insulted me. Somebody took something that belongs to me. I'm angry because something happened to me that I didn't want to happen. I wish didn't happen. And I get angry. Now, who am I angry at? If I truly believe that everything that happens to me comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, then I couldn't be angry at another person, because even if that person did a bad thing, again, that's the whole mystery of Bechira versus Gezeira. That person did a bad thing, but as the Chayav Shel Lavavah says, it would have happened to me anyway, because it was Nigzer Min HaShemayim. Actually, this is a big, massive sugya, but this is what the Chayav Shel Lavavah says, and this is what the Baal HaTanya is going with. So if I'm angry at that person, it must be that I'm taking the position that what happens to me does not come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's another source of reality other than God. That's a bechina of Avodah Zarah. Okay. Similarly, by Arias, Chazal say, Hirhurei Aveira, Kashin Mi Aveira. If Baruch Hashem, most of us, the overwhelming majority of us, all of us, are nitzel from Erva Mamish, but we certainly live in a world, whether it's the internet, whether it's advertising, whether it's walking in the streets, in which we are constantly exposed to inyanim that cause hirhurei aveira. And Chazal say, hirhurim of arayas are equal to arayas. So yeah, we have that bechina of gilui arayas. And then when it comes to ritzicha, good, I don't murder anybody. But what do Chazal say? Hamalvin pnecha veirei barabin. You humiliate people publicly. That is considered to be ritzicha. Ad kidei kach, that there's a discussion in Bishayim whether a person is mechuyev to give up his life before he's mevayish. Because remember, Tamar was going to be mapil herself to a kifshen o'esh instead of embarrassing Yehuda, and the Bishayim discuss whether al pi din it is yehareg v'al yavor before your malvin. That's a machlokas, a technical machlokas. If it's yehareg v'al yavor, but it's certainly called ritzicha. I remember reading a maisa b'shem Rav Aaron Cutler. That somebody once says to Rav Aaron Cutler, why do great Rosh Yeshivas, including Rav Aaron, have to spend all their time collecting money on the road, and they're such bittul Torah in terms of their shiurim, in terms of their talmidim, in terms of what they could have accomplished to being mechadesh, and they spend so much time, and in Rav Aaron's time it wasn't even that rewarding. He would get $5 here and $2 here and sometimes nothing. Rav Aaron said the following. Rav Aaron said, we know that the punishment for ritzicha b'shayeg is gullus. And a Rebbe and a Marbitz Torah may have murdered the soul of a Talmud by an insensitive word, by a sharp remark, by a response in anger. That's ritzicha, Rav Aaron said. It's shayeg. Right, Rosh Hashiva is not mechaveh for that. It's shayeg. But ritzicha it is. And for that ritzicha, you go into gullus. And that svara would apply to parents and children, husbands and wives, chaverim chavrusas, malbin pnei chaveru barabim, or any other type of thing that destroys a person's neshama, is a form of ritzicha. So teretz number one is that even if we're not guilty of the literal manifestations of avodah zarah, gila ra'ah, shvichas damim, but Chazal identified anger as equal to avodah zarah, hirhurei arayos as equal to arayos, and halbanas panim as equivalent to ritzicha. So we are connected to those averis as well. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two is that the anti-Semites are right. What do the anti-Semites say? The anti-Semites say Jews control the world and Jews are responsible for everything that happens in the world. Don't tell them, but they happen to be right. Everything that happens in the world is because of the Yidden. To give Yidden Musar, to give Yidden a message, to be a sign to us, to repair ourselves in various ways. Now it's true that I or you, we may not be guilty of avodah zarah, gila ra'ah, shvichas damim. But there's no question we live in a world that is suffused with shvichas damim for sure, and gila ra'ah for sure, and avodah zarah, if not necessarily in the literal meaning of paganism, although we have that as well, avodah zarah in terms of people substituting, looking for money, looking for taiva, looking for power, substituting HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something else as the primary motivator of their lives. And if we live in a world that is so contaminated with avodah zarah, gila ra'ah, shvichas damim, it is only because we have not generated enough kedusha to fight that. Do you remember the Chafetz Chaim is said to have remarked that the intensity of the learning in Radin would be mashpia and the tznius in Paris? It's like an atom bomb. You have an atom bomb, there's ground zero, the radiation is very, very intense. But even for hundreds and thousands of miles away, there's going to be a radiation effect because of that. Kedusha is the same way. We create Kedusha. There are ripple effects that go out and out and out and out and out and out and out. And if those ripple effects don't have the hashpa as much as it could be, it's because the kayach that generated them was not enough. You know, the Beis Yosef had a very good chavrusa. The Beis Yosef had a chavrusa with a malach. The malach was called his magid, the magid meisharim, and he even gave us a diary of his shakla v'tarias with the malach. You can buy it, the magid meisharim. So in the magid meisharim, there's a story, a very interesting story, that the Beis Yosef says he was once puzzling over a difficult piece of Gemara, and it took him several weeks till he felt he had korb shad in it. Remember, the Beis Yosef was the gadol hador. And Baruch Hashem, he's very grateful, the Eibishter gave him havana. So he's walking in the narrow alleyways of Tzfat, you can imagine if you've been there, and he overhears a shoemaker learning with his 7-year-old son the same shtickle. Well, he doesn't want to eavesdrop, but you know, he's curious. The boy, the little boy, asks his father the same question that Beis Yosef had. Same kasha. Mm-hmm. And the father says, with some annoyance, I knew this was too difficult for you, we shouldn't be learning it, the teretz is obvious, it's this and that. And this was the teretz that it took the Beis Yosef weeks and weeks to figure out. The Beis Yosef had chalishus hadas, because he felt that this was so pashut that the shoemaker knew it. And not only did the shoemaker know it, but there was a taina that his 7-year-old didn't know it. And granted, the 7-year-old was probably a mitzuyan, but still. So the Beis Yosef figures, it must be there's some pagam in me that I was not zeicha to see the obvious. So he had a good source. He asked the malach, he says, can you tell me what pagam do I have? What do I have to be misaking to be zeicha to understand Torah in a good way? So the malach said, you don't have to be misaking. The malach told him, it's the other way around. The hesber that you brought into the world was very difficult and very deep. The world was not roy to understand it. But by your amelis and by your yegiah, you brought it into the world like a fruit. Once you brought it into the world, even a kid is supposed to be able to get it. Now, rationally, this makes no sense at all. Because what do you mean you brought it into the world? The Beis Yosef didn't write it down. He didn't teach it. He didn't communicate it. All it was in his brain. What do you mean it's in the world? The answer is, you see, that the way Kedusha works is, Kedusha creates realities in the world, and those realities are going to be mashpia on other people. This itself is a very important chizuk for a ben Torah. Some, you know, the classical definition of apikiris, at least one of the definitions that the Gemara says, is a person who says, "Maya hani la rabbanan? Who needs the rabbanan? All they do, they sit and they learn. No, they're not doing anything for the world." But from a maisa like this, as well as those many other makiris and chazal, yeah, we are supposed to help people. We're supposed to be makariv. We're supposed to be mashpia. Of course, all of that is all true. But a yid has to know that even when you're sitting and you're learning all by yourself, nobody knows what you're doing. You're in a room, no one knows. Your own Rosh Hashiva doesn't know what you're doing. You're creating Kedusha, you're creating Tahara, you're creating Shmira, you're creating Bracha. Who knows? Who knows? We don't know because we don't have a controlled experiment. How many Chaylim are Nisrapa or didn't get sick because of this Chus of Torah? How many enemies didn't destroy Eretz Yisrael because of this Chus of Torah? Unfortunately, with these Gezeiras, we might be able to have a controlled experiment, Rahman al-Islam, of a before and an after. Should never come to that. You don't know. We just don't know. Only the Eberster knows. But you have to understand, you have to be maimon, that the Kayach of Ruchnius is a reality that's Payel in the world, in all sorts of Shtachim, in all sorts of areas. Memela, it works this way. If I live in a world that is Shakua b'Ziba, Shakua b'Taiva, Shakua b'Ritzicha, Shakua b'Avodah Zarah, it's no teretz for me to say I have no Shaychus to that world. Because by definition, if my Kedusha would have been greater, the world would have been better as well. The Tznius in Paris would be different with the learning in Radin. And the Ritzicha all over the place would be different with the learning in Yerushalayim and in other places. So Memela, that's Teretz number two, where even if I directly don't have a Sheiches to Avodah Zarah, Gil Rai Shvichas Damim, but B'Akifin, I vad I do. Because I look at the world, and if this is what the world is, then I have an achrayus. Jews are responsible for the ills of the world. Don't tell the anti-Semites. They don't mean it exactly the way I'm saying it. But that's the emes. The kayach of Torah changes the world. And if the world is not changed, it's a pechisus on some level in the kayach of Torah, the kayach of ruchnius that we're doing. Let me give you a third teretz, and the third teretz is from Rav Tzadok. And Rav Tzadok says the following. Rav Tzadok says that the idea that the three chamurais, three averis chamurais, are avodah zarah, gil arayis, shvichas damim, these are not really the sicknesses. These are the symptoms. These are the extreme manifestations of spiritual sicknesses that are chayli hanefesh. And the three chalaim of the nefesh, our Pirkei Avos tells us, kina, taiva, the kavait. Jealousy, taiva, lust, excessive lust, and kavod. And Rav Tzadok says, the extreme manifestation of kina is shvichas damim. And the truth of the matter is, lahavdil, this is borne out by statistics. If you look at statistics, most murders are committed really through some type of jealousy. It might be jealousy over an affair. It might be jealousy over something as stupid as someone has sneakers that I want. I mean, it's hard to believe, but people get killed over that. There's a certain kinna, and when the kinna gets so strong, it can turn chas v'shalom into a denial of the other person's right to live, a ritzicha mamish. So Rav Tzadok says, even if I'm not a shayfech damim, but the shayresh of shvichas damim is kinna. Kinna a person has, very hard to get away from. Similarly, obviously, taiva is connected to gilui arayis, and taiva in any form can lead to a gilui arayis. Now, kavod and avodah zarah, that's a bit more subtle. He wants to say that the shayrish of avodah zarah is kavod. What's the pshat kavod? Kavod is the idea that I want to put myself in the center of the universe. Now, there is a Gemara that says that Klal Yisrael were oivdei avodah zarah to matir arayis befarhesia. What's the pshat? Because when a person is an Eved Hashem, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to be mevatel our ratzayim to the Ratzon HaBayrim. But a person that has Kavan wants his Ratzon to be the Machriya in all matters. I want my Ratzon to be Machriya. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is like my Ratzon, that's good. When it's not, I'll redefine the Ratzon one way or the other. Now the early Avodah Zarah, even the later Avodah Zarah, essentially they created a religion that would enable them to do whatever it is they wanted to do. Let's take the Greek and Roman. So what did they do? They created a religion where the so-called gods are nothing more than dysfunctional human beings who happen to have superpowers. These dysfunctional human beings that have superpowers don't care if you're Mazana because they're Mazana. They don't care if you're a Rotsayach because they're Rotsayach. They don't care if you steal because they steal. They don't care if you're dishonest because they're dishonest. What a wonderful religion. I now have gods, I can have a temple, I can have sacrifices, I can have rituals, I can have holidays off from work. And Baruch Hashem. Now, they don't stop me from doing anything, because instead of man being made in the image of God, which is what Bereishis says, we make gods in man's image. So Avodah Zarah comes from Kavod, when I want to call the shots, I want to be the boss, I want to be the one that decides. So I'll create a religion which will let me do whatever I want to do. Together with the ceremonies that people like, including sacrifices and human sacrifices and all the other stuff. So the shayrish of Avodah Zarah comes from Kavod, because a person doesn't want to be mevatel himself. Now the truth of the matter is, this does not only apply to Avodah Zarah, this can apply to us as well, to Frum Yidden. A Yid is sometimes very Frum, but we try always to make the Torah correspond to our Ratzon. If we want it, then somehow we'll find Heterim, we'll find the Chazals, we'll cherry pick the lines, or the sentences, or the half psukim that will say what we want to hear. And this comes from Kavod, and this is the Shairish of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, Kina leads to Ritzicha, Taiva leads to Gilui Arayos, and Kavod leads to Avodah Zarah. The idea that the Gaiva within us leads us to want to be the one that makes the decision. Rav Chaim Shalevitz says, very Gevaldik, he says, this is the meaning, he really has a Taisus in Avodah Zarah that says it. We say, Gadol HaMetzuvah V'Yaisa. If a person does a mitzvah when he's mechuyev to do it, that is greater than if he does it as an Eina Mitzvah V'Yaisa. That's the makor, the Marshal says, of why we make a sudas bar mitzvah. Because it's a simcha that now I'm a mitzvah v'yaisa, as opposed to an eina mitzvah v'yaisa. But the kasha is, l'char is the opposite. If a person does a mitzvah, they don't have to do it, and it's considered to be a good thing. Like a woman does a mitzvah sasei shesman gerama, she gets sechar, it's a good thing. So I should say the following. If a guy does what he has to do, so you're doing what you have to, why should I give you a lot of reward? You're doing what you have to do. Like a lot of parents have a shita, you know, they don't give their kids allowance for taking out the garbage or something. Just, you have to do that, it's not extra. I'm not opining on that one way or the other. But if I do something, lifnim ishur asadin, give me more reward. Assuming it's a good thing. I mean, if the Eibishter says it's a good thing, they get schar, then fakir, they should get more schar, not less schar. So why do I say gadol ha-metzuvah v'yaisa? Zakr of Chaim Shmulevitz. Because as soon as Hashem says you gotta do it, the Yetzer Hara says I don't want to. Meaning, when it's an Eina Mitzvah V'Yaisa, I'm making the decisions, I'm calling the shots, I'm the boss. When I'm the boss, I'll do anything. Yeah, I'll put on tefillin, I'll get up, you know, an hour early to go learn on Shabbos, because I'm making the decision. I'd imagine the poor husband who wants to take out the garbage for his wife. And he's going to do it on his own, but as he's taking out the garbage, his wife calls from the other room, please take out the garbage. Well, there's at least going to be a little bit of a tiny reaction. You know, I don't want to be told what to do. This is the idea. We don't want to be a muchrach because of kavod. And that's why the mitzvah of the yaisa is a higher madrega, because you have to be kaivesh your yetzahar. So these are three terutzim to this guy. Again, I started off with the question, that if according to the Yerushalmi, kol dor shelo nivne ki'ilu nechrav, so I have to experience the Chorban. And like the Rambam says, I'm experiencing the Chorban not only of the Bayis Sheni, but also of the Bayis Rishon. What is my shaychus to the Averis of the Bayis Rishon? The Chayra, the Bayis Rishon, is Avodah Zarah, Gilui Shvichas Damim. So the three terutzim are that number one, avodah zarah gilas shfichas damim can also mean kas, hirhura avera, malbim pnei chavera. Number two, these three averas exist in the world, and if my kayach hatayra is not strong enough, I have a certain responsibility for those averas in the world. And number three, these are the external manifestations of kina, taiva, v'kavai, which unfortunately is an avodah we very much have to work on, and therefore, even if we don't have the symptoms, we have the illness, and therefore we need to eradicate the illness. I just want to end with one interesting thought. All of us know that after mincha, we are a bit more makel, and in a sense, some of the laws, not the laws, but the minhagim of Eilat Shabbat, right? The Gra gives a yesod that anything that is usher meikir hadin, there's no chiluk before chatzais and after. For example, you can't eat, right? You can't put on shoes. But things that are only mitam minhag, like sitting on a low chair, which is not chiyuv meikir hadin, but minhagim, the minhagim get relaxed after chatzais. And l'chara, you might ask, Natasha, in a way that doesn't make sense. Because the emes is, in the afternoon of the 9th of Av was when the actual mikdash was set on fire, and most of the mikdash burnt on the 10th of Av. And Rav Yechanan said, Ilu ha'yisi sham. Okay, this year's a little different because it's an itchah, but let's take a regular Tisha B'Av. Ilu ha'yisi sham. I would be kaveya the whole fast on the 10th. So good, we don't paskin like that because we paskin your koveya, the fast, at the beginning of the tragedy. But certainly one would not assume that as we approach the actual time of Sereifas HaMikdash, that's when we should be more makel in the laws of Avelis. If anything, we should be stricter. So the Gra says, a fascinating raya, the Gra says that when the Mikdash started burning, that was a certain comfort for us. Do you remember the Gemara in Brachas that in one of the Tehillim where David HaMelech Beruach HaKadosh talks about the Churban Elokim Bo Goyim Nachal Asecha, right? He's talking about the Churban. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, it starts off Mizmor LaDavid, which is a joyous song. Frek the Gemara, how could it be Mizmor LaDavid? It should be Kino LaDavid. It's about the Churban Beis HaMikdash Bo Goyim Nachal Asecha. So the Gemara in Brachas says that there was a great, great bracha that when Klal Yisrael was chayte, instead of destroying the whole nation, shafach hamasai al eitzim v'yavanim, not completely, but a lot of Hashem's anger was turned onto stones and wood instead of Klal Yisrael. And the mela, the shafach hamasai al eitzim v'yavanim, was a certain nechama that Hashem didn't do a kliya in Klal Yisrael. Zak tegra on Tisha B'Av. Until the Beis HaMikdash started burning, there was actually a chashash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be Mashkes Am Yisrael. When the Beis HaMikdash starts burning, it becomes Shafa Chamas Hayaleitzim V'Yavonim. So there's a certain Sad Nechama even in that Churban. That's what the Gra says. And that is why we could be Mekel after Mincha, because Shas Mincha is the Shas HaChurban, and precisely at the Shas of physical Churban, we have Shafa Chamas Hayaleitzim V'Yavonim. Let me just end with one final Ha'orah. Now the last kina, actually it's the next to the last kina, that we sing B'Amida, right? Everyone stands up for this, and there's a beautiful moving nigun, is Eli Tziyan V'Yareh, and again, I'm sure I don't need to tell people this, Eli in that kina is not Shem Hashem, it is not Keli Tziyan V'Yareh, but Eli is a verb that means to mourn, to grieve, to be miyalel, Eli Tziyan V'Yareh. And it goes on, and really it summarizes everything in a very, very beautiful and meaningful way. All of the deaths, all of the destruction, all of the suffering, all of the humiliation, all of the busha, all of the cherpa. And then it ends at the very last stanza, that the worst of all is Alei Shimcha Shechulo. It is the Chilo Kavod Shemayim that results. In other words, after all is said and done, with all our bizyanus and all of our suffering, the ultimate avelus, the ultimate tsar that a person should have is the tsar over the chilul shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's very, very beautiful that in the chorus, the person has two metaphors. Eli tziyan v'yareha, kamo isha b'tzireha, like a woman in hard labor, travail, v'chibsula chagura sak, and like a virgin bride who is wearing sackcloth, al bal nureha, on the husband of her youth who has died before they even consummated the marriage. So the Churban Beis HaMikdash is described in two different ways. It's described as a woman in labor, and is described as a young widow who is bereaved of her husband before she even consummated the marriage. These are two different things. And one might suggest that one is perception and one is reality. Our perception, when a widow loses her husband until Tchiyas HaMeisim, that's forever. That's not going to come back. On the other hand, the pain of labor is a great, great pain and a great, great suffering. But normally it culminates in birth, in life, in joy. So there are really two things. Klal Yisrael looks at the Eirich of the Gullus. We look at the thousands of years. We look at the Churban, and we look at things that happened after the Churban. Whether it's the expulsion of the Jews from Spain, whether it's the Crusades, whether it's the Sereifas HaTorah, the Holocaust, the terrorism that goes on even today. More than almost 2,000 years. And we wonder, indeed, we are like a widow. Our husband has left us. Our husband has left us forever. That is the perception a person might have. But the Paitan wants to say that the perception that you are like a basula that has been abandoned by your husband is not true. Don't look at your pain as the pain of a widow. Look at your pain as the pain of a woman going through childbirth. That out of her suffering, out of her travail, out of her difficulties, will come life, will come chios, will come joy, will come light. It all depends on how you look at it. A person could be tzibrachim, and understandably so, and focus on the analogy of an almana. But Chazal actually say, that's why Yirmiyahu is so medayek in his words, Baruch b'nevuah, says, Haisa ka almana. She was like an almana, the Medrash darshins, ki almana, v'lai almana mamish. An almana mamish, husband will not be coming back. Ki almana, it looks like it, but the Eivishter will come back. Bezus Hashem, we hope that we should be zeichet to the Gula Shlema. May this be the Tisha B'Av where Mashiach is born. The Maral says, the meaning of Tisha B'Av, of Mashiach being born on Tisha B'Av means that the, doesn't mean a birthday necessarily. He might be born any day. But the kayach of geula that comes into the world is a tight sa'ah of our cheshek and our yearning and our mourning on Tisha B'Av. We create the kayach of the geula. May the avelus of Am Yisrael this year and all the many other years create the kayach of geula that we should be zeicha to the geula shleim b'meirah b'yameinu.
I'd just like to remind everyone that we would like, if we could make a donation of at least 30 shekels towards the cost of the
Thank you. As any human being that I know in the world, there are a lot of people I can thank for my being here. Rabbi Brock, good.
Calls upon the Jewish people to write him up. We think to know that the days are numbered. And we have written the working. Thank you. Chazal tell us in Masechet Shabbos that after 120 years, it comes forth as a profound remark about what he missed about Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. What did he miss possibly? But the Kutz Rebbe said, yeah, if a poor person comes to you with tzedakah, Chazal tell us in Masechet Shabbos that after 120 years, the Kutz is going to ask us a number of questions, such as, did we conduct our business faithfully? There's very, very witty and profound remark about what he missed about Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. What did he miss about Chutz La'aretz, living in Eretz Yisrael? And the answer was, he missed